Glory tonight, thankful to be in the house of the Lord on a Thursday night. If you've got your Bibles, go with me to the Old Testament tonight for just a few minutes. We want to go to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. I just want to give you what the Lord laid in my spirit today as we sought Him, amen, for what He would want to say and what He would want to do, amen. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 30. When you found that, please stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 30. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 30. Very familiar scripture, very familiar story that I want to read to you tonight. The Bible says, "And Caleb sealed the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw it are men of great stature.'" Hallelujah. They're going to blast the shofar tonight, and as they do, I want you to give the Lord praise and glory and honor in this place tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Your neighbor and say, "Beyond the giants."
Beyond
I want to preach on the topic tonight for just a moment. Beyond the giants. Everything in life, amen, that we come across, everything in life can change with an attitude or a perspective. If we have the right attitude and the right perspective, then things can change in life. It's how we look at things. It's the attitude that we have toward things. The attitude is the manner or the disposition, the feeling, the posture, expressive act of emotion. It's a way of thinking or acting. It's a way, amen, a tendency that we evaluate things in a certain way. It's a direct result of experience. We can learn it in various ways. We learn attitudes by observing things, by people around us, how they behave according to their perspective. If we have that type of perspective, then it will affect our mood, it will affect our attitude, it will affect who we are. And when I was seeking the Lord today and asking Him to give me a word for the people of Judah tonight, the Lord began to deal with me, and He took me to this story. And I told the Lord, I said, "We've preached there before, we've heard, amen, messages there before," but the Lord just began to deal with me, amen, and began to show me that what they were getting ready to inherit, God had already promised them that they could have it. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, amen, that the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "Unto thy seed shall I give this land." And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared to him. Genesis 15 reminds us, amen, that they would be a great nation, that God would cause them to be afflicted, and that the nation that they lived in, that they would serve them, amen, for about 400 years. And we know that that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel when they came into captivity. But we know through the mighty hand of God that God brought them deliverance. God brought them out of the land of Egypt. God promised them that He would give them a land that flowed with milk and honey. When Abram was going, they said, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "To a city whose builder and maker is the Lord." Truly, there was a Canaan that was prepared for God's people. And I believe tonight that there is a Canaan that has been prepared for us in the Spirit. A place where our promises are coming to pass. A place where we're going to see the breakthrough, the deliverance, and the healing. Amen. That God promised us a place where family will be restored and relationships will come, amen, back together and be renewed. A place, amen, where we'll not live in poverty, but we'll live in prosperity. I'm not talking about heaven, but I'm talking about while we're here, that in the spirit, God has promised us such a place. We, amen, declare that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we begin to look at Numbers chapter 13, God begins to reveal to them what he had promised them. Verse 1 and 2 lets us know that God commanded Moses to have 12 men, one from each tribe, to begin to search out the land. God gave them a snapshot of what he was getting ready to bless them with. He showed them a great opportunity. You see, sometimes God will show us just a little bit of where he's taking us to give us encouragement to hang on until we get there. Sometimes God will just give us a little glimpse of what we're going through, that when we go through the trial and we go through the storm, we realize that if we'll endure to the end, we're going to be saved. That if God said it, he is going to bring it to pass. If God said it, it shall be so. But how many knows that sometimes in the middle of the storm, it's hard to have right perspective. Sometimes in the middle of the storm, it's even wrong. Amen. It's even hard to have a right attitude. Sometimes your attitude, you need what I like to call an AA. You need an attitude adjustment. Been there, done that. Amen. Where you need an attitude adjustment. You see, God will give us promises that we can hold on to when we go through the trials and the storms of this life. Amen. They begin to search this land. 12 of them who was appointed by Moses to go search the land. They were commanded to find out what kind of land it was, what kind of people dwell in the land, and what kind of cities were going to be in the land. And this wasn't going to be a 2 to 3 day journey, but the Bible tells us that this was a 40 day journey that they had in the land of Canaan. When they went there in the land of Canaan, they begin to see all the splendor of what the land had to offer. Now, could you imagine what, listen, I don't know about you, amen, but sometimes I'm not the very most patient person in the world, God help me, amen, but I wonder what was in the mind of the people, and even in Moses' mind, when they were gone for 40 days, 40-day journey, they were gone. I wonder if the people thought, are they ever going to come back? Will they ever make it back? What are they going to report when they come back? What kind of city is this? What is there, amen, in the city that is going to be offered to us? And all of a sudden, this is Matthew Leslie's commentary, Matthew Henry, Matthew Leslie's, amen, but all of a sudden they begin to look down and probably saw, amen, the images of these 12 men coming back to give a full report to Moses and the congregation. But these men were not empty-handed, but these men had possessions, amen, had proof and evidence of what the land was really like. You read in verse 20, 23, and 24, amen, that the men brought back grapes in the land. Amen. These grapes, amen, which ripened in July and August. Amen. But they were gathered in September. You see, they did not bring back just one grape, but they brought back a cluster of grapes on a pole that was carried by 2 men to preserve them so they would not get destroyed, so they could show it to the people. According to the historian, some clusters could weigh 25 to 45 pounds, and that these grapes were the size of plums. Amen. They were rejoicing over the cluster when God promised them the vineyard. Amen. They brought back just a glimpse or a cluster of what God had promised them. Amen. This cluster or lump of grapes. Grapes represent joy. It represents prosperity. So this land was a land of joy as they brought back these grapes to prove. Then there were pomegranates, which was a symbol of hope and a symbol of a joyous future. Amen. These pomegranates that contain antioxidants in them. Amen. That can be used for all kind of stuff. Then they brought back figs. Amen. these figs. You know, the fig tree was associated with the vine as an emblem of peace and prosperity. So it was a land that was full of joy, a land that was full of hope, a land that was full of peace and prosperity. They had the proof of milk, which means in the Hebrew to be fat, which means if there was milk, there had to be livestock. And if there was livestock, then there had to be fertile pastures for the livestock to graze. So they brought back the milk, and then they had the honey, which was a standard of sweetness. Hang with me. Which was a standard of sweetness. It was a rare, amen, a rare enough commodity that it was considered then a luxury item. So it was a land full of luxury. It was a land that had fertile pastures, a land that was rich, a land that was fat, a land that had prosperity and peace and joy. Amen. A land that had that was a symbol of hope. But when they came back, you got to understand, they came back with proof. God had already given them proof that they could see, proof that they could touch. I wonder if they tried to taste any of the grapes. I wonder how sweet the grapes were. I've never ate a fresh pomegranate, but I wonder if they tasted the pomegranate and maybe they tasted a little bit of the honey or drank a little bit of the milk to see, amen, if it was as sweet and as rich as what it looked like. You see, even though they had proof that it was what God said it was, there was a problem. There was a situation. Because according to verse 27 to 33, there were inhabitants that dwelt in the land that were greater than they were. These were the Achans, which were the giants. Josephus speaks of the giants whose bodies were so large that their countenance looked entirely different than other men. They were, amen, surprising at the sight, and they were terrible, amen, in your hearing when they begin, amen, to speak, because they were the lineage of the giants that were left, the Nephilims that were left in the land of Canaan. And the Bible said that when they came back to give the report, they had proof. I imagine, I call them, amen, the pastor's council, if I can say it that way. But the 12 men, amen, that were the council for Pastor Moses came back and said, oh, it is what God said it was. It is sweet. It is good. It is pleasant. But there's a problem. There are giants there. And in our sight, we are as grasshoppers. Catch that. They didn't say that the giants looked at him and said, you little grasshopper. They said, in our sight, we were as grasshoppers. And there's giants there. And the Bible said that they were complaining. This is just my commentary. But the Bible said they were murmuring and complaining. And all of a sudden, verse number 30, this is where I want to go. All of a sudden, Caleb had enough of it. And he looked at the congregation and said, hush, wait a minute. The Bible says in verse 30 that he sealed the people before Moses. In our terminology, and I hope I don't get in trouble, but in our terminology, he basically told them to shut up. He said, be quiet. And he began to say, let us go up at once and possess it. Let us go up at once and take hold of it. Let us possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Look at his attitude. Look at his perspective. Yes, there's giants there. And I'm just going to throw my twist in it. Yes, there's giants there. But do you not understand who we are? We're not just a common people. We are not just a common nation, but we are well able. Amen. The word overcome means to overcome or to be able. He said we're able to occupy it. We're able to inherit it. We're able to see. God already promised us that it was going to be ours. But we've got a problem. There's some giants there. The word giant in Hebrew means a tyrant or a bully in this scripture. They're stronger. They're more fierce than we are. They're more stout than we are. What are we going to do? And they had a grasshopper mentality that says, we are not able to do it. Even after Caleb gave them a pep talk, the other 11 looked and said, nope. You ever met anybody like that? I know you said God said, but. I know you're believing and trusting, but. I know it looks this way and it looks like it's going to work, but. And then our perspective changes. Our attitude changes. And this is what the Lord, and I never thought of it this way, but this is what the Lord spoke to me and said. He said, they seen proof of what the land was. They had proof and evidence, but they could not focus beyond the giants. Even though there was proof, Brother Steve, even though God showed them, God gave them a glimpse of what was theirs. Listen, every grape that they plucked was theirs. Every bit of land that their foot, amen, he told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot goes, it's going to be yours. Amen. Everything that they'd seen was theirs. But because there was opposition, because there was a warfare, because there was battle, because there was a storm, they could not see beyond the giant. All they saw, even though beyond the giants was the victory, and beyond the giants were the breakthrough, and beyond the giants was the answer, their focus was more on the opposition than it was on the God that they served that could get them beyond the giants. Can somebody help me preach on a Thursday night? So my question, and I had to repent today, I'll be honest. My question is, where is our focus? What is our focus? Because the Lord said we can be so consumed by the opposition that we miss the opportunity for breakthrough. We can be so consumed by the opposition. We can be so consumed by warfare. I've been there, done that. We can be so consumed with it all that we miss the moment and the opportunity for the victory and the breakthrough to come. They had to realize God already said it was theirs. So if God said it was theirs, he had already made a way for the giants to be defeated. If God has already spoken and said your healing's coming, then he's already removed the opposition that'll keep you from your healing. If God has already spoken and said your prodigals are coming home, your family's going to be restored, your relationships are going to be touched, your anointing is going to increase, then whatever the opposition is not greater than the promise that's over your life. I said, Pastor, something today that I read, and I may not quote it exactly. I was sharing it with Sister Karen before church, but a gentleman posted it. He said, if you're going through warfare, it means you must be doing something right, basically. Yeah. That the enemy does not, amen, fight against anybody that doesn't fight against him. And he said, you know that you're called, amen, to bring restoration when the enemy's trying to fight your mind. You know you're called to bring healing when the enemy tries to fight your health. You know you're called, amen, to be an encourager when the enemy fights your emotion. Basically, what area you're finding warfare, the enemy knows that's the area of your life that God wants to use you and to give you great victory. And he said, what we must not do is focus more on the opposition. We must not focus on what we're going through, but we need to focus on the God of the breakthrough. To know that if he brings me to it, he's going to take me through it. I may not want to be here. I may not want to face it. I may not want, listen, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, God, let me see some giants today. God, let me face some opposition today. Oh, come on, I welcome it. Nope. We wake up in the morning and say, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We don't know what we're going to have to face today, but what I know is God is faithful. And if God's seen me before, he's going to see me again. If God healed once, he's going to heal again. If he moved once, He's going to move again.
Amen.
That's got to be our attitude.
Yeah.
That's got to be our perspective. For faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
And the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
Amen. Pastor preached even recently. We've got to change our perspective. What we see. Hallelujah. Yeah. And here there. Amen. All of these are 11 saying. Nope. Don't think so. Ain't going to happen. Anybody ever met, amen, any folk like that? Did you not see how big they were? Did you see not how great they were? And the Bible said that God began, in chapter 14, that God began to speak, and he said, "But as I truly live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory," there's the key. They've done seen the glory of God. They've seen the miracles of God that God did in Egypt and in the wilderness. And now they've tempted him 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Could you imagine? I don't want to tempt him once, let alone 10. "Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it." Here's the thing. Because they had the wrong attitude and perspective, they missed out on the breakthrough.
Right.
That's the word. Because they allowed the giants to be greater than, amen, Canaan, they were not going to see it any longer. But verse 24 said, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Not just him, but those that came after him. Which means my attitude and perspective doesn't just affect me, but it affects those that I'm connected to. Mm-hmm. Confession is good for the soul. I was sitting at home the other day, and I don't think he's back there. I sat at home the other day, and situation rose up where Jeremiah got a little bit anxious about it. And he started coming to me and wringing his hands and getting anxious. And I caught myself preaching to him about getting anxious when I'm thinking to myself, "You're guilty." And it was like, Pastor, I was looking in the mirror, looking at myself. And the Lord convicted me, Brother Rush, right there. And he said, "If you don't get a handle on it, then it's going to be passed down to your other generations."
Yeah.
And I thought, my son is learning the habit of anxiousness by watching me. So which means the way that I conduct myself, the way that I perceive, the way that I speak, the way that I look at it, doesn't just affect me, but it affects those that I'm greatly connected to. Which means my actions doesn't result in just me, but it results in everybody else. Which made me be convicted, thinking, wait a minute. What am I allowing to cause even now my children to get anxious and to get nervous over things that really are not the truth? What perspective did I have? I didn't have an overcomer's attitude at the moment. But I begin to realize either you can pass down blessings or you can pass down cursings.
Yep.
And I refuse to allow. I told the Lord, I said, "You forgive me. I repent." I told the Lord, and the Lord has been gracious to help us. But I said, "I'm not living that way, and I'm not going to allow my children to live that way. And if the Lord tarries, if I become a papaw, my grandchildren are not going to be that way." Why? Because we are well able to possess it, and we are well able to overcome it. What I've come to tell Judah Tabernacle tonight is we have been in a season where we have definitely faced the giants. We have been in a season where every giant and every opposition that could came against the leadership, came against the church, came against our family, and then all of us, amen, all of us can testify. And if you want to, you can, but I'm telling you, I'm looking across this congregation, and I can tell you probably 99% of us have faced a giant this past year and a half. It's been hard, and it's been rough. And if we are not careful, the enemy will cause us to be more consumed with what we're facing than what God has already promised that this tabernacle can have. God has already promised us breakthrough. God has already promised us victory. God has already promised us, if I can say it this way, God has already promised us that we're coming out of the wilderness and we're getting ready to walk into Canaan. I was listening, amen, while I was getting ready for church this afternoon. I was listening to that old hymn, living on Canaan's side, Egypt's behind, cross over Jordan's wide, gladness to find, my soul is satisfied. Amen. I'm living with Jesus in Canaan right now. I'm reminded of it also. Another song I listened to, Moses led God's children. 40 years he led them through the cold and through the night. But he said, keep going. Canaan land is just as there will be no sorrow there and that tomorrow. You know why I can keep going? And I'm not just talking about heaven, but you know why I can keep going tonight, even though the giants are still there, even though it seems bigger than what we are, even though it seems greater than what we are. You know why we can still rejoice? You know why we can still come to church? Because beyond the giants is a Canaan for us. Beyond the giants is a place and blessing, breakthrough, prosperity, and victory. Mm-hmm. So we're not looking at the giant and saying, that's it. What if Caleb said, you know, boys, I guess you're right. That's crazy of me to think that. You might as well look at these grapes because these are the only grapes you're going to see. You might as well take a picture of it. It'll last longer. Yeah. But the Bible said because Caleb had another spirit. I think it's time we wake Caleb up in the church. I wonder if there's any Calebs in Judah Tabernacle tonight. It says, yeah, there's giants, but we're going beyond that. Yeah, there's difficulty. There's still struggle. Amen. There's still some things that we're believing and hanging on, amen, to God for. In our personal lives and in our corporate lives. But I refuse to focus more on the giant than on the breakthrough that's coming. I refuse to focus more on the battle than the Lord of the battle. I refuse to focus more on the storm than the one that can speak peace in the middle of my storm. I refuse, and I'm looking for somebody that refuses as well, to get up in the morning, amen, and to face your day and just think about all of the challenges, amen, that is in your life. But I encourage you in the name of the Lord that you would get up in the morning in the name of Jesus and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There may be things that I need you to work on, but today I've got breath in my body. Psalms 150 tells me with everything that has breath, praise the Lord. I may not have the grapes in my hand, but I'm going to praise you for the vineyard. I may not be holding the bottle of milk, but I'm going to praise you for it anyhow. I may not have the honey in my possession, but I'm going to praise you because you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm telling you, I believe it with everything that is in me, that Judah Tabernacle is getting ready to walk into their Canaan. No wonder the enemy has been fighting. No wonder he's trying to discourage. No wonder. Listen, you've got to understand that God spoke to them and he said all of those ites that are in there, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, I'm going to drive them out. Oh, the giant may occupy our Canaan now, but we've got a word from the Lord that he's going to drive them out. Can somebody give him a shout of praise on a Thursday night? So my attitude and my perspective is going to go beyond that. Caleb was 40 years old when the Lord gave him that word. 40 years old. All the way into Joshua chapter 14, Caleb begins to tell Moses. He said, I was 40 years old. Begins to tell Joshua, if I can say it that way, excuse me. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to espy out the land. And I brought him the word again as it was in my heart. Or in terminology, what was in my spirit. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And Moses, verse number 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said these 45 years. If he was 40, and now it's 45, he was 85 years old. Now he's an 85-year-old man, and he's reminding Joshua the word that the Lord spoke to him. He said, ever since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85. Here's where I want to go. He said, as yet I'm as strong this day as I was in that day.
His faith.
I'm 85, but I feel like I'm 40. As my strength was then, even so my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. You know what Caleb was telling him? I'm 85 years old, but if there's any giants left in there, I still feel like I can whoop them. I felt like I could take him at 40. Now I'm 85, and I still got the same strength that I did when I was, amen, 40. And I feel like, amen, I can take him. He said in verse 12, he said, now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, that thou heardest in the day of how the Ancients were, that there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Which means if there's any giants left, I'm going to drive them out. And the Bible said that God blessed him with Mount Hebron for an inheritance. The word mountain in Hebrew means a range of hills or to loom up. The term loom up means to appear or to rise up from somewhere or to take a definite shape. To take a definite shape. You see, it's the Hebrew conception which means promotion or to go up higher or to form up higher. What Caleb was saying, now give me my promotion. Now give me my breakthrough. Now give me what the Lord has promised me to have. And I've come to declare with boldness and with clarity that in the name of Jesus, Judah Tabernacle is saying, it's time for us to take our mountain. It's time for us to take what the Lord has promised us. Oh yeah, we've seen the proof of what God can do. We've seen the proof of how God can heal, how God can minister, how God can save, how God can work. But now we're ready to take what God has promised us to have. Not only as a corporate body, but I've come to ask you individually, what is it that God has promised you? What is it that you've been waiting on? What is it that maybe the Lord promised you? And in your spirit, you felt like you were 40 years old, but now in your spirit, you feel like it's 85. Could you imagine waiting 45 years on a promise like that? 45 years. I have a hard time waiting 2 days sometimes. Life is so instant. I'll tell you how goofy I am. I was excited. I ordered batteries from Amazon yesterday. They showed up this morning. Amen. That quick? Life is, amen, always quick. But it's time that we take what God has promised us. But Judah Tabernacle, let us not be so consumed with our opposition that we miss the moment of breakthrough. That was, amen. And maybe the Lord was just speaking to me, but that was so profound. I never thought of that. I knew that in their own sight they felt like grasshoppers. But I never thought of it that way, that they were so consumed with the giants that they couldn't see anything beyond that. That was their main focus. That was their main attention. Their attention span was on that and on nothing else. And if we are not careful, the same thing can happen to us. That we would be more focused on the battle than the victory in the midst of the battle. Amen? So I don't know what giants you're facing tonight. I don't know what's standing in front of you in your Canaan. I know that there could be some things, but I don't know what it is. But I know this much. God wants to take you beyond that. God wants you to take you beyond the fear, the worry, the anxiety, beyond the sickness, beyond the struggle, beyond, amen, the bondage. God wants to take us beyond that. And God wants to give us hope and peace and a future and an expected end. Look at somebody and say, I'm about to go beyond the giants. I'm about to go beyond the giants tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful tonight. Because I believe, amen, that as God promised that those things that were in Canaan, that God has promised us tonight, that we can have those things if we want them, if we desire them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet all over this place if you can. Amen. I'm going to ask them to come to the music. I pray that, amen, I know it wasn't very long, but I pray that the word of the Lord touched you tonight. Amen. What is our attitude? What is our perspective? God help me. Most of the time I need an AA. I need an attitude adjustment. I tease and say, if the Holy Ghost don't give me one, my wife will. Or she'll help the Holy Ghost. Amen. She's not here, but I love her. Amen. Listen, here's the thing. This ain't spiritual, but I thought, if Pastor Jeff can say what he said and get away with it, and she still loves him, she's got to love me. Amen. Praise the Lord. She threatened you. Amen. Her bark is worse than her bite. Amen. I love her. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hopefully she's not watching.
She's shopping. Praise the Lord.
But I love the Lord tonight. How about you? I'm thankful. I don't deserve a Canaan, but I'm glad he's prepared one for me. I don't always get it right. You don't always get it right, but I'm thankful for grace and mercy that was renewed this morning. That today, God can cause me and cause you to look beyond it and say, there's something greater just ahead. Up ahead, we're about ready to step into a land with milk and honey. A land of grapes. 25 to 45 pounds per cluster. That's a lot of grapes. Figs. A people who was used to eating man in the morning, man in the evening, man at night. Now, seeing that there was more beyond that. Who was used to having their bed as a wilderness. That there was a land they now can inhabit and call their very own. Praise God. I believe, amen, that that's what God is telling us tonight. That greater days are just ahead of us. It's been a battle. It's been a struggle. Truth be known, amen, even getting to the house of the Lord sometimes have been a struggle. But we're here. We're here. First and foremost, if you're in this place tonight and your heart's not right with the Lord, and I look around and I perceive that everybody's okay, but if your heart's not right with the Lord, this altar's open for you tonight. The Lord wants to touch you. And I say this with all sincerity and love, that if you are here tonight And you say, you know what? You know what? I'm facing some giants. I know that there's a Canaan for me. I know that there's milk and honey for me, that there's pomegranates, there's grapes for me. But to be honest with you, I'm facing some pretty big giants. And it's been hard for me here lately to see beyond that. But I want the Lord to help me tonight to see beyond that. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you tonight. Amen. We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. I am so glad that I'm not in this by myself. I'm so glad that I've got people in this congregation that will call my name out to the Lord when I need them to. That we're here together. Amen. Be encouraged tonight, people of God. Be encouraged tonight, Judah Tabernacle. Those that can't be here that will watch later, be encouraged that God's going to take us beyond the giants. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands all in this place? If you need special prayer, this altar is free. Amen. Is open for you tonight. But if you need to, just lift your hands and just worship Him. Amen. Just lift your hands and just praise Him tonight. And ask the Lord to help you to get beyond the giants.